Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Shir for Women, Shir number 37 in Rabbi Tversky's book called Wisdom Each Day. He talks about that when a person is in the angry mode, don't try to appease them when they are angry. Same thing goes with a mourner. If someone is in a sorrow, in a deep, deep distress about a loss of a loved one, don't try to ease that sorrow or comfort them when that is very, very severe. In the heat of the moment or during that short period of time where the anger is strong or the grief is very strong, just be there, but don't try to calm them down at that moment, because that could backfire very much. Because, for example, if you're in the heat of an anger, if someone is in that mode, then they may mishear things. You may be trying to explain yourself, or let's say they're upset at you yourself. They're showing anger towards you and you want to explain yourself, or you want to express your regret for having offended them in any way. And what happens is, if they're right now very angry, what they will hear in their, you're trying to appease them, but what they are hearing is that you're provoking them and may get them more angrier. Sometimes it's best to wait a little bit and wait till they calm down. Let that fury abate. And your explanations and your apologies will be more accepted if you hold back now and explain it after they calm down. This works in many interpersonal relationships. Certainly in marriage it's the same thing. When you see that your spouse, for whatever reason, rightfully or wrongfully, even wrongfully, is very agitated right now, not their normal self, and extremely upset or not in a great mood, there, the wisest thing is to hold off right now until there's a calmness, and they get back to themselves, and then address it. So that's with anger, and the same applies when you're trying to console somebody. Because if there's an intense emotion of any kind being felt now, it's subject to selective and distorted hearing. The very words that normally could be soothing later may be irritating or upsetting now when the pain of the grief is very sharp and acute. Now, a person that's in sorrow and in pain and in grief, they may appreciate your being with them, so they're not alone. But wait for them to begin the conversation. They may not want to talk right now. And this is true when the grief is for any serious thing, as well as a loss of a loved one, chas v'shalom. To just be there, but don't push with your comforting words. That could make things sometimes worse. The other way around also, one has to be aware. So for example, if you're on the receiving end of apology, you yourself, chas v'shalom, whatever it is, you're very upset about something, or you suffered a loss and someone's trying to comfort you. So try to be aware. It's very, very hard when you're in a strong emotional state of anger or of grief. But to be aware sometimes that your emotional state may result in your misinterpreting the other person's good intentions and not to jump to conclusions. And that's so again, it applies whether you're the giver or the receiver, where you need patience and tolerance before you actually act upon something or say something. I know it worked for me in different ways. Sometimes it did work for me, and there were times, certain tkufas, let's say, where I was very upset about something or angry about something or in turmoil about something. And somehow Hashem helped to muster something, a voice in my head saying, you're not thinking straight right now. It's best to just be quiet now. Wait till the storm passes. That's something that I don't know how it came about, how I developed this. Doesn't always work. Halavai should work all the time. And with all of you, halavai, it should work all the time, but try that sometimes. Try to somehow muster that thought when you're upset about, very upset about something, or in grief about something, or in turmoil about something, saying, right now my emotions are in a storm, I'm not thinking so straight, let me wait. And very often that enough will give you enough self-restraint to be able to hold off until it's the right time to express that upsetness or anger or grief or whatever it may be. So that's one yesod that he says. Another yesod that he talks about, a subject regarding respect for one's parents, respect for Hashem, and So there's an interesting story. It shows a sensitivity to the respect of Kibbutz Av HaEm that I want to share with you. It's a story he brings down, Rav Tversky, in his book. He says that Rav Shaul Leib Diskin, he moved his residence to another residence in Yerushalayim, and he had boxes that he needed someone to carry for him that contained several items, and it was several boxes. And he told the one who's carrying it, make sure that boxes on the top of the pile remain on the top above the lower ones. Meaning, as he's carrying it, not to mix the boxes around. And the ones on top should stay on top. The ones on bottom should stay on bottom. And reminded him that several times. So the one who was carrying the boxes, the porter, asked him, why is it so important to you? Why is the order of these boxes so important to you? And Rishua Belev Diskin responded. He says, you see, the bottom box has my own writings of commentary on the Torah. The top box has my father's writings. And it would be disrespectful that my writings should be on top of my father's writings, even for a single moment. So you see from here the sensitivity of a kibbut av and a kibbut aim. We could do this also with a kavod abrias. We mentioned 2 weeks ago regarding not using wide steps, not having a steps on them up on the mizbeach, because it's not modest. And who will see it? The stones of the mizbeach will see it, and don't treat the stones disrespectfully, which is an amazing concept. It's an inanimate object. What do you mean treating the stones disrespectfully? But it's a lesson to be learned. It's a lesson to be learned. Or for the example, even like we said many times, you cover the challah because you don't want to embarrass the challah Friday night because you're staying a bracha on the wine first. Even though you're supposed to say Hamaitzi first over here for Kiddush, we're making on the wine first. So you cover not to quote-unquote embarrass the challah. Again, a challah has no feelings, and yet it's ingrained in us to have that sensitivity. The same idea is with Moshe Rabbeinu when he was told do not hit the water or the sand or whatever it is. Because it was used for you were saved by the water. With the story with Basya, Basparai, and the same thing with the earth, he buried the Mitzri, so you can't hit the earth either. Again, inanimate objects, certainly even for animals, you see that to treat them with a certain degree of respect. You don't harm them needlessly, and you care, you have a certain care for them. And certainly human beings, and certainly parents. So this Kavod Abrias that we discussed 2 weeks ago and many other Shiurim applies over here as well, and it's a great sensitivity. Another thing to realize, and he's very upfront about this, is that we need to understand that human beings, all of us, most of us, are not born with refined character traits. I speak for myself. I'm not born with refined character traits. There's a lot of stuff that is intrinsically things that need to be worked on in a major, major way. We all have that. We all live in a physical life. We all have, whether it's animalistic desires or emotions that are not healthy. And it's a normal state. We can't get depressed over the fact that we have that. You know, this idea that we have in our mind sometimes like a child, and we're an adult in a child's, we're a child in an adult's body. I want what I want when I want it, you know, and I don't care. And that, well, that's just the way I am, or I have a short fuse, and, you know, it's true we have that, or I'm intolerant by nature. It's true. Many of us are intolerant by nature, you know, but the problem is that as adults, we are dominated by our infantile, babyish, childish attitude, and we resign ourselves to that. That's the problem. We resign ourselves, okay, so I have certain character traits that are undesirable. And he says very emphatically, there's no justification for resigning oneself to bad character traits. We are intelligent human beings. We have the ability to modify our character. This idea, yes, are there some tzaddikim or some people that were born with inherently beautiful midas? You know, Baruch Hashem, all power to them. We shouldn't be jealous of them, be happy for them. But what good does it do us? Yours truly included. You have to fake it until you make it. There's nothing wrong with that. We talked about this many times before. You behave properly, even if your heart is not in it right now. That is truth. That's not being phony. It's very important, the aside that has to be drilled in again and again and again. A person may not be kind by nature. You behave externally kindly. That's step one. A person may not be truthful by nature. Externally, bepoil, you speak the truth. You practice it. With practice, then kindness will become part of your personality. With practice, then truth will become part of your past personality. That's what it means in Mishlei, Kashrei Malibecha, and then it says, Kashareim Al Gargarei Secha. Actually, it's a pasuk in Mishlei Paragimel, pasuk Gimel. Kashreim Al Gargarei Secha. Tie it around your neck. Kashreim Al Luach Libecha. And inscribe them in the walls of your heart. Which means, again, we cannot bash ourselves in any way, shape, or form that we have negative stuff in us. It doesn't make a difference what type of negative stuff is in us. Unhealthy fantasies, unhealthy sexual desires, unhealthy jealousies, anger, resentment, all the garbage. It makes no difference. This is something that one needs to know. Hashem didn't create us. He created us in ways that we have to work on ourselves. So we have some good traits that we utilize for our best. That's beautiful. Those are gifts. We didn't earn it, so we don't take credit for it. And we cannot be blamed by the fact that we have negative things that we have to deal with. Hashem put it in us. He's not blaming us for having it. Something that in Tanya, especially, it reiterates again and again and again. You don't feel negative about yourself by the fact that you have animalistic desires or that you have negative emotional states. He knows it's there. He's not blaming you for it being there. But he just wants you not to resign yourself to it. He wants you to modify your character. He wants you to behave externally. Yes, externally, in ways that if you continue to do it that way, it will ultimately be etched in your heart. It will be a kasvei maluach libecha. It will internalize. That's another lesson, very important lesson. And a fourth one is with, he brings stories about Rav Yisrael Salanter. Someone was upset because what happened was is that a person got ill when he was with Rabbi Saul Salanter. Rabbi Saul Salanter had to take care of him. And the guy felt bad because he knew Rabbi Saul was a tzaddik. And he was supposed to serve Rabbi Saul Salanter, and instead it was reversed. Rabbi Saul was taking care of him. And Rabbi Saul says, the ways of Hashem is mysterious. Maybe Hashem decreed that you should be ill and there's no one to attend you. So I became ill and you were designated to take care of me. And the reason behind this, however, was that I should be able to assist you. So as you recover, there may be no longer any need for me to be sick. This is the way he calmed his concerns. It's known in the Rav Yisrael Salanter, the end of his life, he was, all the way when he was dying, he knew that people are fearful of being with a dead body. So the Shomer, the one who was watching him on his deathbed, he told him and he talked to him and assured him there's nothing to be afraid of. And he tried to explain to him how if someone's not in this world and the Shama leaves, there's nothing to be afraid of, and calm the person's nerves so that after he passed away, that one who was watching him was not afraid of being with someone that wasn't alive anymore. And that was what Rabbi Saul Salanter did on his deathbed. His last moments were concerns for others. That was upmost forward in his mind, not to cause distress to another person. So again, wait when you're angry or upset or in grief before telling people the words to calm them down. And when you are the recipient also, hold yourself back from reacting, overreacting. The idea of kavod, of aim, even in the concept of having a box of father's Torah on top of yours, even that subtle. To know that we are not born with refined character, but we behave externally that way, it'll ultimately be internalized. And the chesed and the kavod abrius that Rabbi Saul Salanter had, even at the last moments of his life. Brachah v'atzlach.